This New Age Bible teaching by David E. Ball is titled Ninth of Ab.
That's the title of our lesson tonight, Ninth of Ab, A-B. And we'll tell you more about Ab in a minute. If a certain nation had an atomic bomb and delivered that bomb or threw that bomb or dropped that bomb on an enemy nation, there's only one nation in the world right now that you could not retaliate against. What is the name of that nation? Does anybody know? Well, let me try it again. Now look. See, if Cuba had an atomic bomb and they shot it at us, then we'd shoot one at the back of Havana. You got the picture? Now, if the Russians had a bomb and they shot it over here, then we got at least 480 in the silos, plus we got every atomic submarine has got 160, and so the Russians couldn't drop a bomb because they'd be retaliated against. If we shot a bomb at the Russians, they could shoot them back at us. You follow what I'm getting at? The Chinese shot one, we'd shoot one back on them. But there's one nation that you can't retaliate against. Well, not Israel, because if Israel shot a bomb, where would you drop it? You'd drop it on Haifa or Tel Aviv or, you know. Well, think just a minute now. This nation has an army, has a king, has a navy, has a... what? Body? I'm not talking about that one. This is a nation that was recently... this nation was recently given recognition by the UN. What was it? PLO. What's that stand for? Palestine Liberation Organization. And what's the head of it? Arafat. And if Arafat had a bomb, where would you drop one back? Do you understand what I've just said? You see, he has no land. His men are up in Lebanon, they're over in Syria and Damascus, they're over in Amman and Jordan, they're way down in Saudi Arabia, you see. And if you were to try to retaliate against Arafat, then in addition to dropping a bomb on Arafat's men, it would only be a few of them, you'd be dropping it on another nation, perhaps even a neutral nation, one that had nothing to do with the atomic bomb. Did I come across, you see? All right, so there's the first point. That's the shocker. Now, I wanted to shock you into something, because we have a situation now in the world, the likes of which we've never had before. Am I coming clear? Here's a situation that hasn't been before. In other words, if the man went out of his mind, or if he had to, you know, in a desperate attempt for some political maneuvering, we could be in trouble. Now, what's the possibility of Arafat getting a bomb? Well, how many bombs did Israel get recently? Does anybody remember? How much plutonium has been missing from the state of Pennsylvania? 206, enough for 216 atomic bombs. Kennedy covered it, then Johnson, then Nixon, then Carter, and they all tried to cover it. But let me tell you something. What Israel wants, Israel gets. I'm coming. All right. What Israel wants, Israel gets. If they need Mirage fighters from the French, and the French say, no, you can't have them, they go get them. And you remember the three big ships that they passed a law they couldn't have, and they just drove them away anyway. And what Israel wants, Israel gets, and they need atomic bombs, and they got atomic bombs, 216 of them. Now, don't let that worry you, because we have thousands. When I was involved, we had 480, and they're just, you know, we have, what do they call it, proliferation? Just so many, many of those kind of things. So everybody's got them now, so, you know. I think Woolworths is going to sell. And you can get the not only the plans for the atomic submarine, but you can get a scale model plastic atomic submarines, the new ones. So there are no secrets. And if Arafat wanted it, Arafat could get it too. And there are other ways to get it besides just getting the materials. One of the easiest ways, of course, would just be to take a small group of people and beat up on some soldiers that had one in one of their installations. So take it away from them, in other words. And what? Yeah, just with a, maybe about 20 guys and some submachine guns. Now, we're going to talk about the possibility of atomic, the delivery of an atomic bomb and when atomic war might start. We don't like to talk about atomic war, but, well, you have to realize that there are these possibilities. Well, anyway, we believe the sixth seal is about to open, and the fifth seal is where we're living right now. Now, actually, I do believe that the sixth seal already opened, but I teach that it's about to open. I believe that it opened on June the 7th, 1967, or at least started the path of opening. It's kind of like a door. Sometimes you can see a door and it's just starting to open, and yet it's not open and you can't get through it, but it's not closed either. You follow what I'm getting at? And so I believe that we're in a period right now, a overlap between the fifth and the sixth seal. Now, the sixth seal is the Battle of Jehoshaphat. We're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about the sixth trump was the Battle of Armageddon. I'm going to say that again. Jehoshaphat, sixth seal. Armageddon, sixth trump. And right before Armageddon, we had the manifestation of the Antichrist, fifth trump. I hope I'm not saying this too fast. Sometimes I get my trumps and seals and vials, you know, mixed up, but that's why I point too. So you try to hear what I'm trying to say if I do it wrong. Sixth seals, Jehoshaphat. Sixth trump, Armageddon. Fifth trump, manifestation of the Antichrist. Oh, by the way, what's it tell you in Thessalonians? Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be, what's the next word? Reveal the son of perdition, right? Now, let no man deceive you by any means, because they're just, I would say that almost all of evangelical and Pentecostal Christianity kind of, you know, jumps over those verses pretty easy, don't they? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Because they said, what do you mean, that teaching that we're to look for the Antichrist? We ought to be looking for Jesus Christ. Well, that's not what the Bible says. It's first the Antichrist and then the Jesus Christ, you see. So let's get that straight. So there will be a revelation of the Antichrist, the fifth trump. Sixth trump, you got to have your Antichrist, and then the sixth, you got your Armageddon. You can't have an Armageddon until you get your Antichrist. And then after Armageddon, then we get the seventh trump. That's the last trump. And what did Paul say about the last trump? 1 Corinthians 15:52. What? In a moment, twinkling of an eye, at the which trump? At the last trump, you know, then the trumpet will sound, then Christ will be raised incorruptible, we shall be changed. We're expecting a change, a crowning glory, a physical change of the physical body at the which trump? But we have to fight some battles. Now, there are two battles we have to fight. One's the Battle of Armageddon, one's the Battle of Jehoshaphat. Now, if you go to most Bible teachers, they'll tell you there's one more war to fight. Which one? Battle of Armageddon. But we're talking about two more wars, the Battle of Jehoshaphat, which we may be in at the moment, and the Battle of Armageddon, which is yet coming. Now, there's also a third war, a third world war, that occurs at least 1,000 years from now. Now, I intend for every person here, let me see now. Yeah, every person here to be here for all three battles. I intend for you to be here. By the grace of God and all that lies within me, I want to be here. And I want you to be here. And in fact, I can't see anybody here that I'd like to see dead. I've looked over this crowd and I can't see one person that you know, really ought to be dead. Seems to me you ought to be alive and remaining to come to Christ, right? How, does that witness with you? It would be alive and remaining to come to Christ. Now, when the seventh angel sounds, then I heard a voice from heaven which said, now the kingdoms of this earth are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He'll reign forever and ever. When? At the last trump, the sound of the seventh trump. And so, we teach and we believe that people, Christians, should be prepared. Now, there is another scripture in the Bible about this. By patient continuance and well-doing, seek glory, seek honor, and seek what? Immortality. Now, I believe, I'm talking to some people who are not going to die. I believe you're going to overcome the last enemy, which is death. And you will seek glory, you'll seek honor, and seek immortality. But in seeking glory, honor, and immortality, you will do it by patient continuance and well-doing. And who wants that? Patient continuance in well-doing? I'm tired just saying it. Patient continuance. Oh, I don't want to be patient. Why, when I pray for patience, I say, Lord, I want patience and send it now. Why, certainly. None of us want patience. It's a virtue, yes, but we always want patience for the other fellow. But there are going to be some times of trouble. You can call it tribulation, trouble, trials. It may be 7 years, but the Bible doesn't say so. I'll say that again. How many heard the tribulation is 7 years? See, that's another margin note. But I believe it could. There's a pretty good chance it's 7 years. But you can't prove it. It's just a margin note. It's by deduction. But we'll just play like it's 7 years or something better, and we'll play like it's these trumps. Now, right in front of the trumps, God said what He's going to do is seal 144,000 with a father's name in the forehead, right? Now, when these get the seal, they get the seal at the sixth seal so that they can have the power to go through all this mess. But where do they get the power? In their spirit, soul, or body? Watch it. Oh, come on, where do they get it? Say it.
Soul.
They get the mark of the Father in their forehead, soul. You see, the forehead is a symbol for what you think, soul, mind, intellect, will, emotion, attitude. The spirit's already saved. He can't do anything more for that. The soul is being saved. So these fellas at the sixth seal are going to get all the way perfected in their soul, mind. You see, then they'll have their head screwed on right, and they'll have the power to go through all this kind of stuff. The trumps and all the bad things, the 7 years of bad things, because they've got the right attitudes. How many have noticed that every time you're in trouble, it's because of your own attitude? Come on. Yes, it's our attitudes. And most of us realized that our own worst enemy came here with us tonight. Right. Come on. One guy misunderstood Bob. He said, yeah, she's here next to me. I'm not talking about your spouse. I'm talking about the guy that's sitting on the chair you're sitting on, right? But it's the way we react to situations of life that determines how we're going to overcome. Come on. It's not the situation. A lot of us are expecting that in order to overcome, the way God's going to overcome is to remove us from the situations. Now, is that the way He treated anybody ever before? No, in the world you shall have tribulation, and in going through these situations, and in a sense flowing with this, what was that, one of the saints was praying a prayer, give me the wisdom to change what I can and leave the other alone. What was that? Who was that? St. Francis? Does anybody remember that? Francis? Okay, well, you got it. It's the wisdom to know when to flow with the thing and when to resist the thing, you see, or to change it. And that's great wisdom, isn't it? To flow with it at times and kind of, you know, let that attitude be yours. And then at other times to stand up and stand up for what's right. So these are going to be attitude changes. And will you all agree with me right now that we need some more attitude changes? In what realm is God changing us at the moment? The soul, the mind realm. So He sent the Holy Ghost to engraft the Word of God, James 1:21. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Written people who were already saved in their spirits, but needing more salvation, more attitude changes in their minds. Now, these people are going to finish this job at the time of the which seal? Sixth seal, which should open at 8:30. Do you understand? We've got to get our heads screwed on pretty fast. Now, He didn't say that He's going to seal them at the opening of the seal, but during the sixth seal, they will be sealed, okay? Starts out earthquake, sun, dark, moon, turn to blood, stars over man, and all that. You remember that. They run to the mountains, hide, fall, rocks, you know, hide us from the face. Then the four corners, four angels, withhold the winds, don't hurt the earth, until we seal the guys, and you remember all the, you know, tribes, Reuben, Gad, and all those. Now, you know, I'm paraphrasing from Revelation chapter 7 right now, and the end of 6. Well, they're going to get sealed, Now, why not us? Come on, why not? Why not? Is there any reason? I mean, you know. Well, where's some better material? But you see, he takes the dust of the earth and remolds it and puts it back together and works it with that material and turns it into something worthwhile, right? Now, as long as we're standing as candidates during this time for these attitude changes, mind, soul changes, we believe that we can make it and be alive to the coming of the Christ. But there will be some trouble. There will be some things that are going to give us some opportunities for overcoming. If you don't remember anything else in the meaning, try to remember this. Our God's the God of another chance. Our God's the God of another chance. And even though your head hasn't been right all the way, and even though since the last time we were together, you made some mistakes. How do you know that? Because we know what's in men's hearts, and we know what is in man, and we know that we've all made mistakes. Come on. Now, because of this, we serve, or at least let's do it the other way, because we have made mistakes, I need a God that grants me another chance. How about you? Praise God. Praise God for the God that gives me another chance. If it wasn't for that, nobody would be here tonight. We need another chance. And the caterpillars are saying to each other, I don't know whether you can read this or not, and one caterpillar is saying, and another, and the other saying, and another, and the other one says, and a whole lot of others. And there's a caterpillar around behind the sign, and he's saying to the other caterpillar, in reference to the butterfly that's flying up on top of the sign, you'll never get me up in one of those. But you know, we do have a tremendous destiny, don't we? There is a destiny that some of us just really haven't comprehended yet. Something like a caterpillar who can, at the moment, have no idea, has no idea of it, the fact that, you know, he'll have those big wings and fly. And there will be some mighty changes for all of us if we just hang in there. Now, the first seven seals you're familiar with, you've had your book. The sixth seal is about to open. And Jesus said, those that are here at the opening of the sixth seal, they're going to be here how long? How long? Forever. Going to be here, shall see all these things. He was talking in Matthew 24, and he said, those that are here, sun, darkness, moon, turn to blood, stars fall from heaven. Those people are going to see all these things. Now, we believe that we're talking to people who are going to see all these things. Now, these are the seven seals, and here are the seven trumpets. We've drawn them a little bit differently for you today because the first, all four trumpets, though they're important, they're not important to this particular point. Am I making sense? I'm headed for some war ideas. And for the wars, I'm passing out the first four trumpets. We're talking about the fifth trumpet, the sixth trumpet, and the seventh trumpet in more detail. Before I get those trumpets, I want to review for just a minute. The sixth seal is in the future. Now, I believe it was on June the 7th. It was the Battle of Jehoshaphat. And some of you are aware that that's in, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And in the Battle of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. We're established and firm when we believe in God, and when we hear the voice of the prophet, it prophesies us into prosperity. However, sometimes the prophets do have to tell us that it's necessary at times for Judah or Israel to go in captivity, flow with it, and then come out victoriously. Do you remember one prophet, Jeremiah, who told them that that's the way it was going to be? He said, Jerusalem's going to be surrounded by armies. Now, when they attack, it'll be a lot better for you guys if you just kind of submit, go along with them, go on over it. Nebuchadnezzar, he's going to take you to Babylon. Do your thing in Babylon. Then, at the right time, after the land has enjoyed her Sabbaths, you're to come on back. Do you remember all this? And, of course, he got a marvelous reward from... No. What did they do to the prophet for the accuracy of his prophecy? What? Yeah, it was a slimy pit. He got a prophet's reward, which is a slimy pit. Because people don't want to hear that part of prophecy, do they? You're aware of that. People want to hear the good things and tell me about, you know, how good it'll be. But if we get victory, and I read the last chapter and we win, that means we've also been in a battle. So we have to talk about battles too. There will be a battle, the Battle of Jehoshaphat. Now, this has to do with sealing of 144,000. Now, some of you have heard our lesson on 144,000, and with all apologies to the Jehovah's Witness. Did you know Jehovah's Witness believe they're the 144,000? Are you aware of that? See? Well, you know, got news. The 144,000 is a much larger group. It's not a literal number. It's a symbolic number for half the total. And if you've heard our... How many have heard our tape on who are the 144,000, see? Oh, I wish the others had that tape. It really answers a lot of questions, doesn't it? Because it shows them... But did you also notice that in order to understand that tape, you had to grab the basics of the parallels, God Speaks Twice? And once you grab that God Speaks Twice in the parallels, it just answers all kind of questions, doesn't it? And some of the strange things that didn't make sense in the book of Revelation, they start to after that. The seventh seal is seven trumpets. The seven trumpets are the seventh seal. When we're blowing the fourth trump, we're still in the which seal? When we're blowing the sixth trump, we're still in the seventh seal. Now, Jehoshaphat, that battle, we believe is coming up pretty quick. And when's a good time for it to come up? Well, we've talked about Arafat, and we've talked about atomic bombs for a minute. And the possibility is pretty great right now because the Battle of Jehoshaphat involves certain names such as Ammon, which is Ammon, Moab, which is Arafat at the moment. Moab, just write that down. Moab equals Jordanese commandos or Arafat, PLO. And then there are also some other terms like Mount Seir is Faisal, the guy that got shot, his replacement, Saudi Arabia. Edom would be closer up into the almost Israel territory now, in Basra. But these are names of nations and armies that, according to 2 Chronicles, will be attacking Israel again. This time when they attack, it'll be on the west side of the Dead Sea, and they'll attack from the cliff Ziz or in Gedi. And we found out just recently in Gedi means the place of the goat. Now, I'm also calling your attention to the fact that multiple goats are sacrificed in the Feast of Tabernacles. Do you remember that during the Feast of Tabernacles, you're to have this multiplicity, 14 bullocks, and remember all that, and then the second day is 13, and so many goats and rams. Come on. All right. Now, according to the Talmud, not Torah, see, the Talmud is a commentary on the Torah of the first five books. And the Talmud is like old Matthew Henry or, you know, something like that. It's a commentary. According to that, there are 70 bullocks. If you add the 14 plus the 13 plus the 12 and all, it comes out 70. And this, according to Jewish tradition, is the number of the nations, 70 nations. So then, at the Feast of Tabernacles, there are sacrifices given for 70 nations. Now, am I coming across? So then, the tabernacle experience is for the nations, not just for the Jews, not just for Israel, but for the nations, all, the Gentiles. You remember that when David built his tabernacle, that was the one time the word Succoth was used except for Moses' Succoth. The only one time, and it was when David built his Succoth, because his Succoth, his tabernacle, was at the Feast of Tabernacles. And when he built his tabernacle, it was not only just for the all the priests and the Levites. It was for all Israel, even the men and the women, and also for the Gentiles and all the nations. For the tabernacles is for the nations. Tabernacle experience is for the nations. And we're looking for something for the nations around the time of the tabernacles, having to do with the 70 bullocks and also the goats. Now, at the place of the goat in Gedi, or near Ziz, there's an ascension. You ascend a mountain, kind of a, I don't know how to call it, but a path up the mountain where an army can ascend from the south of Jerusalem and then attack the beloved city from the south. Words like Tekoa, Hebron, Ziz, Z-I-Z, and En-Gedi, E-I-N, capital G-E-D-I, are words that you'll be hearing from Walter Cronkite or your various newscasters very shortly. In fact, some of these words might be even tonight. I don't know. But I do know words like Ammon or Ammon are on the vocabulary right now. And though Moab is Arafat, still it's the same thing. When you read Moab in the Bible or hear Arafat, I want you to relate to that and see how they're coming together in a coalition against Israel and going to attack the Jews from that direction. Now, in that realm, as far as the attack, I want to call your attention to some things that have happened on a certain day. And the title of this lesson is The Ninth of Ab. A-B. The Ninth of Ab. Now, in some literature, you'll find it spelled A-V instead of B. And sometimes it's O-V instead of A-B. I don't know whether the Jews spell as bad as I do, but they, in their literature, as you read some books, and of course, we understand transliteration is a problem, and so this is as close as we can get. But A-B is the one that seems to be most universally or widely, most widely accepted. Now, on the 9th of Ab, nine things have happened that we have found so far. But every time I open another book, I find something else that happened on the 9th of Ab. First, we'll talk about the word Ab. It's a word that describes a month, a Jewish month. You're aware the Jews have 12 months, and every once in a while they repeat a month. Like we throw in a leap year, they throw in a whole month. Are you aware of that? How many knew that? Well, that's the way they do it, even if you didn't know it. And one of the months is Ab. You've heard us talk about Tishri. How many of you heard me talk about Tishri? When I talk about Tishri, what am I talking about? The Feast of Tabernacles. That's important to us. But Ab is also important, and we want to look and study it for this reason tonight. On the 9th of Ab, it's always been a calamity. It's been a catastrophe. It's been a bad day. It's a day you should have stayed in bed. How many ever had one of those days? All right. We've all had days when we wish we stayed in bed. On the 9th of Ab, Moses received his command to stay in the wilderness for 40 years. And suppose you received a command that you were going to have to be in the wilderness for 40 years. Would you agree that was a bad day? All right. The next point that we want to take is that the temple was destroyed by the Chaldeans, Nebuchadnezzar, about 586 B.C. on the 9th of Ab. The temple was destroyed. Now, the Bible tells us in one place it was destroyed on the 7th. In another place, it just tells us it was destroyed on the 10th. This has to do with the fact that we never know for sure whether we're talking about evenings and mornings. You know how those things are in counting. And you just can't hardly figure out exactly a certain day in history the way the Jews wrote it, because sometimes if it was the evening, they would give it one number or the other. So anyway, we're just going to say that if it happened around that period, we're going to call it the 9th. And in fact, that's what they've done in some of the other things that we'll talk about. If it happened within a day or two of that period, it was called the 9th, and you'll see why. In point 3, the temple, the other temple, Herod's temple, was also destroyed. And it was destroyed by the Romans in 70 A.D. by Titus. Are you getting the idea that something's up? If both temples get destroyed in the same day, all right, let's see some more coincidences. The fall of Bethar, when there was a rebellion, and that was about 60 years after, 63 to 65 years, after Titus destroyed the city and so forth, the Jews rose up again, and there was a terrible rebellion, and then the capital city of the Jewish rebellion was destroyed on the 9th of Ab by the Romans. Point 4. A year later, the Romans put down all and put a final end to all Jewish resistance by taking the plow over Jerusalem, over the temple site, and completely turning everything. I mean, you know, a complete destruction, not one stone on another, and brought up a Roman city on that site a year later. And it happened on the 9th of Ab. The sixth point was the Spanish Inquisition, 1492, another interesting number. And in 1492, the expulsion of the Jews from Spain, Ferdinand and Isabella, on the 9th of Ab. Just probably another coincidence. Well, as we go right along, we're finding out that Russia evacuated all the Jews from the border provinces of Russia in 1914 on the 9th of Ab. And they actually entered the war the year before on the 9th of Ab. The Russians entered the war, I'll get this technically correct, in 1914, and in 15 they got the Jews out on the 9th of Ab. And the eighth point, the Germans, their P-O-G-R-O-M, pogrom, or genocide, and Hitler's order to execute the Jews, especially of Amsterdam, came on the 9th of Ab. And it just so happens that we dropped the bomb on the 9th of Ab. What'd you say?
I said, when is the 9th of Ab coming?
What'd you say?
When is the 9th of Ab coming?
When is the 9th of Ab coming? Oh, next year sometime. Let's see. Let's get a calendar and see when the 9th of Ab is coming next year. The red letters are the letters for the Ab, and the black letters are for our calendar. But here's something that's going to be really throw you. The 9th of Ab falls on the 12th of August. But the 12th of August is a Sabbath. And you're not allowed, according to Jewish rules, to fast during the Sabbath. So the 9th of Ab is on the 13th. Now, that was too fast. Even though the 9th of Ab isn't on the 13th, it is. Because it's on the day following the Sabbath that the celebration takes place. And to the Jew, they do not fast. See, they always fast on the 9th of Ab because that was a day of sorrow and, you know, all that kind of thing. And they fast hoping to get through that day again. You know, you can see that. Oh, you know, it's according to what city you're in. It's, you know, you're familiar where they burn the candles. You're to light the candle at a certain time. You're not. Well, anyway. See, it has to do when sun goes down, and each city across the United States, it happens at a different time. So they give them, you know, the exact minute to light the candle for the beginning of the Sabbath. So, okay, August 1978, and we're talking about the 13th of August this year, the Jews will celebrate, and of course their celebration isn't, you know, they don't have a dance on that particular celebration, because it's a sad day, and they celebrate it with fasting, and with mourning, and weeping, and, you know, reading from the Book of Lamentations, and you know, it's a bad day. So that'll be either the, to us, it'll either be the 12th or the 13th, but to them it'll be the 13th. Now, if you were Arafat, and if you had the bomb, what day would give you the greatest psychological advantage of all the days of the year? You got it. When their minds are prepared for death, when their minds are prepared for defeat, when their minds are prepared for sorrow, when do you give it to them? You see? Now, I hope nobody misunderstands me when I say give it to them. Don't think that I'm on Arafat's side right now. Do you see what I'm driving at? It's just that I'm trying to put our minds like we were Arafat for the moment, you see. And if that was your position, so then you could demand all kinds of political things. Now, suppose you were Arafat and you had the bomb. Would it be best to deliver the bomb or to tell them you were going to shoot it at them? What? Say it. Threaten them. Tell them you're going to. And then what would you do? Begin to negotiate. Oh, well, I'll trade you the bomb for the Golan Heights. You see what I'm driving at? Huh? So they can get some land. There's a king with no land. And they're having a big argument about that right now, right? But if he got a bomb, and instead of actually throwing the bomb, said, I'd like to talk this over before I pull the pin. Are you seeing this now? All right, now turn with me in your Bibles. And we'll go to the New Testament first, the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. Now, every word I've said here tonight has been connected. And even I've tried to connect the jokes. I'm in 2:14, or at least I'm trying to get there. This Bible doesn't work too well. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon what? All flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Young men see visions, and old men dream dreams. For my servants and handmaidens in those days will pour out my spirit. And I'll show signs in heaven above and earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. Then, after that, where am I? The sun will be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great notable day of the Lord come. Now, when we get to the sun darkened and the moon turned to blood, which seal is that? Say it. Sixth seal. Sun darkened, moon turned to blood, stars fall from heaven. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. Opening of the six seals that should open at 9 o'clock. Well, just before the opening of the sixth seal, we have signs in heaven above, earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor smoke. Turn with me in Joel, chapter 2, verse 28. And in Joel, chapter 2, verse 28, it will come to pass afterward, I pour my spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters prophesy. Old men dream dreams, young men see visions. Servants and handmaidens of those days pour out my spirit. I'll show wonders in heaven and the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Now, when we read that in the New Testament, the book of Acts, it didn't say pillars of smoke. It said what of smoke? Vapors. Well, there's probably a mistake here, so just cross. Oh, you don't believe they're in mistakes. Well, then how can a vapor be a pillar? We looked up the word pillar in the Hebrew and found out that that word for pillar in the Hebrew is the very exact word palm trees. Blood and fire and what? Say it. An atom bomb. Mushroom cloud. Palm tree. Cloud of smoke. Are you seeing it? You see? So it's a literal translation. It would have been so much nicer if those guys on the Bikini Atoll would have just called it palm tree instead of a mushroom. My job would have been easier here, but I think everybody can understand that a palm tree and a mushroom cloud are the same general shape. Nod your head if you understand. All right. Then so, and so he's talking about atomic bombs. Now, just before the opening of the sixth seal, we're going to have atomic bombs. Now, would you agree with me that that we live in the atomic age? This is the atomic age right now. Then, is it necessary for us to have another atomic bomb if we've already had them? And if the bomb was on the ninth of Ab, maybe we're past it, and maybe we still have to have one. Now, that was a little wide for some, so let's go back and pick it up. For you see, in the minds of some people, all this has to happen over in Israel. You see? But I'm not so sure of that. I'm not so sure that all this has to happen over in Israel. Because, you see, over there on the edge of the Mediterranean, that's only got two of the tribes, and there are ten that are still messing around somewhere. See what I'm driving at? And it says they went to all nations. So, maybe it's not that way at all. Chapter 3 goes on. No, I'm going to get back to verse 32 for just a minute. And it'll come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Now, it says saved in the book of Acts. Saved and delivered, same thing. Because whenever God ever said anything bad was going to happen, He always promised deliverance to anyone who would call upon His name. Do you hear me? Praise God. If you don't remember anything else, remember He's a God of another chance, so call on His name. And He promised deliverance no matter what the bad situation was. Didn't Jesus warn him and said, when you see this place surrounded by, don't go down up the housetop, don't even go in the house, zip right out. He says, split the place. And this is the idea. When you will do what He tells you to, there's going to be deliverance if you ask for it. Now, behold, I've just skipped over from one chapter to the other, but I didn't end the thought. In those days and at that time, for behold, in those days and at that time, what days and what time? What it's been talking about, right? In those days and at that time. What event was this talking about? Opening of the which seal? Sixth seal. And just in front of the opening of the sixth seal, the which age? The atomic age, just in front of the opening of the sixth seal. Now, in those days and at that time, I will bring all nations, gather all nations, bring them down to the valley of what? And will plead with them there for my people, my heritage Israel. So he says that in the days and at the time of the opening of the sixth seal, I'll bring how many nations? All nations down to the which valley? To the valley of what? Going to bring them right down there, Cliff Ziz and Gedi, right in here, you see. How many nations? All the nations. Now, there are two ways to do this. One is through a conflagration or an actual explosion, detonation. The other is for Moab, that's Arafat, probably with Hussein at least knowing it, comes up here and then says to Israel, from this spot, I want to talk with you guys. It's time for getting together and talking. Have there been any maneuverings in that direction lately? What? Like today? What's going on, Tom, today? Why, Egyptians used to go into Israel with bullets and bombs and grenades. What are they doing now? Going in there to what? Talk. And if Arafat said, I want the Golan Heights, who would go down to talk to him?
Please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.